Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 4 and read down through verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. We'll read this passage responsively. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I'm going to read one other verse. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says, And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the privilege we have, the freedom we have to come to a place like this. Now we ask that as our preacher takes this book, this special book, and teaches us and instructs us about the book, that you would give him your power, do something in our hearts. Thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for all you do for us. Meet with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon this evening will be nothing new for our church. I will preach about the importance of the King James Bible. I've done this many times before. I started doing this when I first arrived here. I hope before I go to heaven, I will have done it all the way through. I believed what I'm about to preach when I was a young preacher at the age of 16. That's when I started. I've not changed, and by God's grace, I won't change. And I say that very cautiously. I've seen men far better than I make changes on their stand on the Word of God, and only by the mercy and the grace of God will I continue to stand right and strong. You know, folks, the battle for the Bible and the battle for the King James Bible is not just a theological battle. Truly, it's a war that has to do with our homes, and it has to do with the raising of our children and their future. So we consider the men that are the pastors, we consider them in the full-time ministry. But let me tell you something, we're all in the ministry. Every last one of us are in the ministry. And we use the term for those that sit in the pews, you don't work at the church, we use the term layman. Well, let me tell you something, laymen should care and be concerned about the Word of God and having a Bible just as much as the preacher would. I mean, every one of us have a life to live for Christ. Every one of us have children to raise, and that we have a future, and we're an important part of the local New Testament church. One reason why I say to you as a layman that this ought to be important to you, I find it here in the book of Deuteronomy. Let me read a couple of verses to you. By the way, I call this sermon, Our Every Word Bible Was Promised to Us. Our Every Word Bible Was Promised to Us, and so you know who made the promise. It's the one that never breaks a promise, and that's God. Deuteronomy 6:7 says this, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's talking about the Word of God. Then, in Deuteronomy 8:3 it says, And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3 tells us that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. I want you to remember that. Every word. Now, if God says something, God says what he means and means what he says. There are not uh-ohs in the Bible. He said every word. Now, We were just reading in Deuteronomy just a few verses earlier, and it is speaking in Deuteronomy 6:6 and 6:7 about it's a parent's responsibility to train their children using the Bible as their guide. Now, he said that we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But now we are to train our children by that Bible or by those words. So he said here in Deuteronomy 6:7 that in rearing our children, we're to teach the words of God diligently. What words? Every word. It says that we are to talk of them when thou settest in thine house. Talk of what? Every word. He said, and this is all having to do with our instructing and our training our children. It says we are to be training them diligently when thou walkest by the way. Training them with what? Every word. It says that we are to train them when thou liest down. In other words, you know, some of you spend a little time with your children before they go to bed at night. Maybe say prayers with them. Well, that's scriptural because the Bible says when thou liest down. So we're to train our children and they're to hear the word of God. What are we to train them with? Every word. It says when thou risest up. Many of you will get up in the morning and you read your Bible and you have your morning devotions maybe, or you spend a moment in the Bible with your kids. And what are you training them? It went out when they rise up. Every word. That's what God said. God said that you are to diligently teach them. You're to talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And he said, you're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God commands us to rear our children, training them with every word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, of course, is a New Testament, basically a quote from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where God says, man does not live by bread alone, but he's going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, folks, let's realize something. The Bible is not the words of man or men, but the words of God. Man was used by God and controlled by God in the writing of every word. Some people say, well, do you believe in mechanical dictation? In other words, that God made it happen? Well, I don't care what you call it. God led man to write every one of the words of God. You can call it whatever you want. You can put any label you want to it. I just know that these are not the words of man. They are the words of God. And God said you're to live by every word. God gave man God's actual words. This is not a man-produced book. It's a God-produced book. Folks, listen. Everywhere we go today, people are modernizing things about the church and Christianity. They're getting away from the old-time religion, and one of those places is even with the Word of God and the Bible. God doesn't want his Bible modernized. He says, stick with my exact words. You mean those old words of yesterday? Yes. 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 That's what he wants. You see, but they say thou and therefore. If that's what God wanted said, then that's what God wanted said. But God said we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of some modern theologian that thinks he knows better words than God that are going to fit into our society. God knows what he was doing. God knows what he was doing. Now, listen to me, and I'll try to do some spiritual logicking with you tonight. Let me say, first of all, God wanted us to have his words. He wanted us to have his very words. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if God wanted us to study his word, he intended for us to have his word. Now, why in the world would he command us to study his word and then not give us his word? So you see, I'm saying to you, God wanted us to have his very words. If God wanted us to rightly divide his word, he intended for us to have his word to rightly divide. Let's talk a little bit about history. in the Dark Ages, and some of you historically know what defines the Dark Ages, but let me let you in on a little of my belief here. The Catholic Church said God did not want common man to have his word. So the Catholic Church tried to keep the Bible away from the people. Only the priest was said to have the privilege of access to God's word. This era, historically, is called the Dark Ages. Now, many people were tortured and burned at the stake trying to get the Word of God into the hands of common man. Now, today, men may smuggle drugs. Back then, men were smuggling the Word of God. Let me remind you something, though. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the Word of God, you see. John 1, verse 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." The real hero of the ending of the Dark Ages was not the Industrial Revolution or the Machine Age. The real hero of the was the common man getting his own Bible to study and read. Thank God for the printing press and the Industrial Revolution, and I'm glad for that. But you see, we were in the Dark Ages, and what really made it dark was that there was not enough light, and the absence of light was people trying to keep folks from having the Word of God. And when the printing press became popular, they were able to print the Bible and get it to common man, and the light of the world was made available. And so, thank God that Bibles were printed on printing presses. And the Dark Ages ended when the light of the world entered, which was the Word of God. And I'm for all the historical part of the revolution of and the evolving of all the machinery and all the equipment, but I promise you, that printing press made it so common man could get him a copy of the Word of God. That's what brought light to the Dark Ages. And you say, the Catholic Church did that. They did. They did. But we almost see an identical process taking place today. There are people that say we have no real Word of God, so the common man really doesn't have a Bible. They say we don't have the original manuscript, so we don't really have the Word of God. They forgot one promise that God made in the Bible. Psalm 12:7 says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forward." Some then say that, well, just any version of the Bible is okay. They say their version does not change the doctrine. But let me tell you something. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It does not say to rightly divide the doctrine, but the word of truth. It does not say we are to rightly divide the thought, but the word of truth. How could God justly command that we study the Word if He didn't provide the Word? We've got to have the Word of truth. He said, man is not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, God can't command us to live by every word if He doesn't give us every word, and so we've got to have every word somewhere. If not, then God's a liar. If not, God commands us something that we cannot do. May I remind you again, Deuteronomy 8:3, that man doth not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. How could God command that we live by every word unless He provides every word by which to live? We need every word God spoke. We don't need man rewording what God said. We need every word God said. God wanted us to have His Word. He wanted us to have His Word. In John chapter 17, which is what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus spoke of the words of God. In verse 8, Jesus says, "He has given unto the disciples and to all those that would listen the words which His Father gave unto Him." Let me read John 17, 8 to you. Jesus said, "For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I am come from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me." Notice, Jesus did not say He had given unto the disciples God's thoughts, but He had given unto the disciples God's words. You see, to Jesus, the very words were an issue. Jesus said to those disciples, "I have given you the words God gave Me." It was an issue to Jesus that the words were passed on. Then he says they had received those words, and as a result of those words, they knew that he had been sent of God. Listen, God, again, through Jesus, is emphasizing the importance of every word of the Bible. So, I said this. I said, number one, God wanted us to have his very words. Number two, God claims that he gave his words to man. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Given to who? To who did God give those words? Well, to man. How do we know that? Because it was man that would prosper from the doctrine. It was man that would be reproved. It was man that would be corrected. It was man that would be instructed. It was man that needed to learn to live righteously. So the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God says, I am giving man my words. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Listen to it. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter here is writing, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Peter here is saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? Well, more sure than what Peter witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said, well, I saw something, but I've got something even more powerful than what I saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. I have a sure word of prophecy. Peter's saying, the Scripture is a sure thing. It's a sure thing. Let me explain a couple of words to you that you'll hear people use when they're talking about the Scripture and they're talking about the matter of the Bible. When people start talking about inspiration and preservation, there's a word, plenary, P-L-E-N-A-R-Y. It means full or complete. Full or complete. The word verbal means word for word. God provided for man a complete word-for-word book to live by. He said, you are to raise your kids by every word. So God commanded that you do that. So then we've got to have an every word Bible to raise our kids. You know, the home was instituted before the church. You need a King James Bible. You need an inspired, preserved Word of God just to raise your family right. You know, God required of himself to give us the words of God. He required of himself. Why? He required us to live by every word. Now that in turn puts pressure on him to make sure you and I have every word. What kind of God says to a human, you better do this, and then turns around and then doesn't give us the tools to do it? God's not that kind of God. God is not that kind of God. God would not tell me to do something and then turn around and withhold from me the ability and access to what I need to do it. I said, number one, God wanted us to have every word. I say number two, God claims that he has given us his word. He has given it to us. Number three, God claims to have inspired his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word inspiration, it means a breathing into. God breathed the Word of God. It's a divine influence upon human beings that resulted in the writing of the Scripture. Remember, this is God's Word, not man's Word. It's God's Word, not man's Word. We believe the King James Bible is a plenary, verbal, inspired, preserved Word of God, meaning it's full, complete, word for word, and inspired and preserved. Let me read to you again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and through 21. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's talking about the word of God. And it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There again is inspiration. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is inspired. Now it's talking about those men that were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we're being told again, God inspired the Scripture for the sake of man. You know, Psalm 12, verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You know, not just the thoughts are pure and inspired, but every word is pure and inspired. Let me go on. Number four, God promised to preserve His inspired word. Now, let me ask you a question. Does the Bible say that God inspired the Word of God, yes or no? Yes, He did. Now, let me show you something. The Bible says in Psalm 12, 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. In verse number 6, it's talking about the Word of God. God promises us, let me read it to you again, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. What did He promise to preserve? God's words. Let me ask you a question. Are God's words inspired words? Now He tells us He preserved God's words. What words did He preserve? His inspired words. Either it's inspired or it's not. Well, what needed to be preserved? The words. What words? The inspired words. Psalm 119:89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God is saying, in heaven it's settled. You say, in heaven, what's the Bible look like up there? Well, I don't really believe that it's probably printed in the English language. I don't know what it's printed in. I can just tell you this. I know that's where the originals are at. Have you seen the originals? Do you know anybody that's seen the originals? Does anybody know where the originals are at? But God promised He would preserve something for me and you. And if He didn't, we're in a mess, folks. We're in a mess. God said, in heaven, the Word of God is settled. It's settled. It's sure. Did you know something? It is not up to man to preserve God's Word. God promised to preserve God's Word. You say, I don't see how it could be preserved. Well, Zondervan didn't preserve it. God preserved it. God didn't say, you men down there preserve my word. God said, I'll preserve it. God's not turning that over to a knucklehead man. Man screws up everything he touches. Man always thinks he's smarter than God. Man always thinks that he can improve on God. That's why man picked his own way of salvation and man picked his own way of holiness. Oh, no. It's not up to man to preserve God's word. It's up to God to preserve God's word. I'd rather have that in his hands than mine. You say, are you against Zondervan? No, I'm just telling you. It wasn't their job to preserve it. It's God's word. God was going to preserve it. You know, notice, the Bible says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Well, I'm going to guess if it's from this generation forever, that means every generation until forever have been promised preserved words. Did you know that when we get to heaven, there will be no need of generations? Right? No need of generations in heaven. So that word generation means on earth. Because only on earth do we have to contend with generation. In heaven, we'll live forever. There will be no generation needed. Yeah, y'all with me? Shake your head up and down like this, if you will. All right. Mel, I hear things rattling. Stop it. Man was only a pen held in the hand of God as God inspired those words. You know something? If man tried to burn every copy of God's word that was anywhere on the earth, he couldn't get it done. Why? God promised He was going to preserve it. If everybody turned on God, and said, we're burning every Bible we can get our hands on, you can't get rid of the Word of God. Why? Man's not more powerful than God. God promised He would preserve a word. He promised it. Hitler tried. Hitler tried. They burned Bibles by the thousands and maybe by the millions. I still have one. He couldn't do it. God gave his word again to Jeremiah after Jehoiakim cut it up with his penknife and burned it in the fire. The devil and man have tried to destroy the word of God through the centuries, but both have failed. They have provided counterfeits by providing version after version after version. God said he would preserve it so we could study it and live it and raise our children by it. Now, you say, well, I don't believe that preserved word is a King James Bible. Then you better fight for what you believe is the perfect, inspired word of God. But the problem is, the people that say, well, I don't believe it's the King James Bible, well, where is it then? Which one is it? You better stand up and fight for it, because we're to earnestly contend for the faith. But you know something? Most people don't believe like that. They say, well, I just don't believe there really is one out there. Well, then God's a liar. God promised. God promised we'd have an every word Bible to raise our kids by. Every generation. So what did God preserve? Words? I guess he'd have to preserve the inspired words if he's going to preserve the words that he breathed. You say, do you think God re-inspired the Bible when they did the King James Bible? Oh no, I don't think he had to re-inspire. Didn't have to have a dual inspiration. He already had one inspiration. All he had to do is preserve what he already inspired. God inspired the originals. Mm-hmm. Then promised to preserve for us every word that was inspired in the originals. You say, can you really explain it? I've done the best I know how. God's not called me and asked my advice about anything recently. He just said, you just tell him what the Bible says. God said, I'm going to give you my words, and you're live by every word, and you've got to have every word, and those words are inspired, and I'm going to preserve that for you. So that doesn't make sense to me. Did you know something? It doesn't have to make sense to you. It's only got to make sense to the one that wrote the book. But I think it can make some sense to us if we really want it to. I think I have the Word of God. I think God has made it so we in the English language can have a Word of God that's a sure word of prophecy. You know, somewhere there has to be an inspired, pure, every word Bible for man. God told man he had to live by every word. God told man he inspired. God told man he would preserve what he did. There's got to be one somewhere. Got to be somewhere. You say, I don't think I hold one in my hand. Well, you can buy one right out there, and there's a King James Bible at the table. You buy one if you want to trade yours in. I'm almost finished. Stay with me. Let me repeat myself. That helps you sometimes. Number one, God wanted us to have his very words. Number two, God claims that he gave us his words. Number three, God claims he inspired those words. Number four, God promised he would preserve the words that he gave us. Number five, I think God has the power to preserve his inspired words. Let's see. Who created the earth? God. That's a big deal. He spoke that into existence. Who parted the Red Sea for Moses? God. Who promised to make the walls of Jericho fall down? God. Who flung the stars into space? God. The Bible even says in Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all power. Why should we doubt his promise? He inspired his word for man. He promised to preserve what he inspired. What makes us think he can't pull that off? That's what troubles me. Man almost wants to say, well, there ain't no way God could do that. Well, why couldn't he? He's the one that thought this whole thing up. He gave you the brain that's not working well, but he gave that to you. Is this another promise of God that you doubt? Did you know just because you can't see how God could have preserved his inspired word in an English language doesn't mean that it's not so? You can't see your brain, but that doesn't mean it's not there. If I get to heaven and God punishes me for claiming his promise of preserving his inspired word, I'm willing to take my licking. But I'd hate to get there and be in trouble for doubting the promise. You say, yeah, yes, too narrow-minded. Yeah, and it's taken me a long time to get this way. I just happen to believe that he wanted us to have every word and that he inspired every word. And then he turned around and took a great big chance according to man, but not according to God. He said, I'll just preserve that for you. Well, how did he do that? I don't know how he does a lot of stuff he does. It's not my job to figure that out. It's my job to, by faith, believe what he said in the Scripture. So I'm just dumb enough to believe the Bible. And I've not had anybody to cast enough doubt on it and try to explain it away to me. I don't need a theologian. I've got my Bible. My Bible tells me that it's preserved. My Bible tells me that it's inspired. My Bible tells me I'm to live by every word. And that's good enough for me. If you disagree with me, I just don't want you to disagree with the Scripture. Don't disagree with the Scripture. We're going to do something, and I told you this already. We have on the table out here, we have some King James Bibles. There are New Testaments and full Bibles. Also, there are four sermons out there. Really, I wish you'd stop by and get them. And I know I say this a lot, but this church, it's not all about making money to me. It's about doing things and doing things for God and going forward for God. There are some sermon CDs out there. I think there are 10 or 12 of each. There are four different titles. There's a sermon out there called His Name is Missing. And one day I preached a sermon in here. I was very upset. I got to looking at all the new modern translations and found out how many hundreds of times they've actually taken Jesus and God and Lord out of the Bible. Why, they're improving the Bible. You don't improve the Bible by taking God out of it. Don't tell me you're improving by taking God out. And so there's one of those sermons back there like that. Then another one that I preach called The Great Book Used by Great Men. It talks about the great men of history that preached and stood for the King James Bible, men like Lester Roloff and of course, men like Lee Robertson. I wish I had time. Dr. Al Lacey has a great, great book called Can You Trust Your Bible? And I could go on and on. There's a sermon on CD back there called His Incorruptible Word. There's another one back there called the NIV, the non-inspired version. Then there's a book, and I told you about this earlier, a book that Dr. Hiles wrote. If I could have gotten some other books by other men quick enough, I would have. This is a kind of a layman's type of a guide. The very last sermon that Dr. Jack Hiles preached before he died and went to heaven, I mean, the fact is he came in, he preached on a Wednesday night, he preached a whole sermon about the King James Bible, and it's the last sermon he ever preached. It's kind of amazing that he went down fighting for the Word of God. But this is a book that he put together, on, and it'll help you to understand. I think there are only 2 dozen of those back there. Again, we're not making money. We're losing money on them. I promise you that. Then I have something else I wanted to give you. I wanted so much. I kept on trying to think of a way where I could give every one of you a copy of this book. Now, Dr. Hiles he's passed. I didn't worship Brother Hiles. I listened. I learned a lot from him. He was a man just like anybody else. But this book has a lot of very, very interesting things in it. Now, I wanted to give everybody a copy. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't get it done. I just couldn't figure out how to do it. We're in a building program, and we're needing money for that. So what I did was I went in the book. What we have is we have 53 quotes from the book, all about the King James Bible. This is from a man from the last generation, if you will. Let me read a couple of the quotes that are in here. Here's one, and every one is an exact quote out of this book. It says, this statement, and it's talking about a statement that had been made about the King James Bible, says this statement is from the chairman of Bible at one of our well-known Bible colleges. He said, there is no perfect translation. Brother Hiles says, what am I going to take soul winning? If there is no perfect English translation, then I have no perfect Bible, and my mother was wrong, and so was yours. Here's another quote that he makes. God has preserved his word for us in the King James Bible. Here's another. Every generation has to redefine the Bible for itself. every generation has to discover for itself that the King James Bible contains the words of God. Every generation has to experience a split because every movement experiences a natural deterioration. Here's another quote. The biggest split that has ever come will come in the next 10 years, if not sooner, over the King James Bible, and it couldn't come soon enough for me. Here's another one. It says, the issue that is dividing Baptists in my generation is the healthiest issue ever, the Bible. What better issue could divide? We're not going to divide over some piddling issue. We're going to divide over the foundation of our faith, and that is, what is the Word of God, and where is the Word of God? Here's another one. Here's one that is about inspiration and preservation. It says this, that revelation which God has inspired has been preserved as he said he would preserve it for these 6,000 years, which means we still have those very words. There's him backing a preserved inspiration. Then it says, the word verbal means that every word of the Bible is inspired. Plenary means that the entire Bible is inspired word for word. Verbal inspiration says, look at a word in the Bible, it is inspired of God. Plenary inspiration says, every word in the Bible is inspired by God. All of it is inspired by God. Every scripture is inspired by God. The inspiration of the scripture is being attacked. Let me give you a couple more quotes. It says, in our generation, there is nothing under attack more than the King James Bible. Nothing. Here's the last one. It says, give me that indestructible, all-powerful, eternal, unconquerable, inexhaustible, verbally inspired Word of God. No one word has failed, not even a tittle or accent shall pass away. Now, there are 53 quotes in here. I wanted desperately to give you a whole copy of a kind of a layman's guide to the King James Bible. I couldn't get it done, but I do have these 53 quotes for you. Ushers, why don't you come? You can take them home, look at them. You can throw it away for all I care. As long as you believe what the Bible says, that's all that matters to me. So, ushers, I want you to come. I want you to give one of those to every single person. Somebody cover the choir. Work as fast as you can, men. As fast as you can, if you'll work at it, you can look at this and you can look it over. Again, I would have liked to have given you the whole book, but I could not. But I'll tell you something. You have a book that teaches that we have the inspired Word of God. You say, what is that? Well, if you believe the Bible, then just look at it. The Bible will prove to you that the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible will prove to you that the Bible is inspired. The Bible will prove to you that the Bible was preserved. We're not quite done. We're going to have a quick altar call here in a second. But once you get your paper, I want you to set it aside for a moment. And you know something? I'm not telling you to go out and get in a fight with somebody over it. But I'll tell you, I preached a sermon to you a week or two ago, how and when to contend for the faith. And that you know, we do have to take a stand for the Word of God. We've got to believe that God has given us a Word to live by if we're going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We've got to believe it, so we've got to stand for it. Let's see. If we need extras, let me know. It looks like I need some extras here. And men, if you're done, if you'll rush right over here in the back of these sections, I think we need to start covering from the back forward. How about in the balcony? Do we have everybody covered up there? Anybody in the balcony not get the quotes about the King James Bible? This church stood on the King James Bible before I came here. If they had not, I wouldn't have come here. I wouldn't have come here. This is an issue. This is, you know, when you get down to the Word of God, I can't think of a greater issue. Okay, anybody on the lower floor that didn't get this? Anyone at all? We have some in this section still? All right. Okay. You say, Brother Owens, I'm a theologian, and I think you're an idiot. Well, thank you. I believe I'm an idiot for a long time. I'm not debating my intelligence. I'm just telling you the Scripture. And if you got a problem with God and you think He's an idiot, you're some powerful theologian. All right. The right thing to do is let's have a...